That's not good enough. This guy is the top scientist in the number three tobacco company in America. He's a corporate officer. You never get whistleblowers from Fortune 500 companies. This guy is the ultimate insider. He's got something to say. He wants to say it. I want it on 60 Minutes.
Doesn't matter what he wants.
Am I missing something?
What do you mean, Mike?
I mean, he's got a corporate secrecy agreement. Give me a break. I mean, this is a public health issue, like an unsafe airframe on a passenger jet or some company dumping cyanide into the East River. Issues like that. He can talk, we can air it. They've got no right to hide behind a corporate agreement.
And I don't like to be pushed around.
I'm not pushing you around. I'm asking you questions.
I'm just a commodity to you, aren't I? I could be anything, right? Anything worth putting on between commercials.
To a network, probably we're all commodities. To me, you're not a commodity. What you are is important. You go public and 30 million people hear what you gotta say, nothing, I mean nothing, will ever be the same again. You believe that?
No.
You should. Because when you're done, a judgment is gonna go down in a court of public opinion, my friend. And that's the power you have.
You believe that?
I believe that. Yes, I believe.
You believe that because you get information out to people, something happens?
Yes.
Maybe that's just what you've been telling yourself all these years to justify having a good job, having status. And maybe for the audience, it's just voyeurism, something to do on a Sunday night. And maybe it won't change a fucking thing. And people like myself and my family are left hung out to dry, used up, broke, alone.
Are you talking to me, or did somebody else just walk in here? I never assume any of that.
Understand.
No,
exactly.
Don't evade a choice you gotta make by questioning my reputation or 60 Minutes with this cheap skepticism.
I have to put my family's welfare on the line here, my friend. And what are you putting up? You're putting up words.
Words. While you've been dicking around some fucking company golf tournaments, I've been out in the world giving my word and backing it up with action. Now, are you going to go and do this thing or not?
Well, we've done it. We're at the 100th Meridian, folks. It's just a big black line of longitude. Just got to step right on over it. It's all you got to do. I'll be here to help you. It's the 100th Meridian, baby. Whatever it is you. That's right, 100th Meridian. 100th Meridian. Here it is.
I'm a Canadian physician, and I have been fighting corruption in the Canadian healthcare system for many years, even before COVID-19. I was born in communist Czechoslovakia, and my parents, my dad was an academic, and the Communist Party really wanted to recruit him into the Communist Party and to push the communist ideals as an academic, because that's what they expected of all academics. Was to be a member of the party and then to push communism. And he refused. And so he'd been targeted by the Communist Party. He was worried that at some point he might be thrown in prison. When I was baptized in secret. There was a tiny little church in the middle of nowhere, in a little village just outside where my dad was born. And that's the only way you could get baptized, because if the Communist Party found out, again, my dad could have been thrown in prison. So this was in the 1970s, 1980s. It wasn't that long ago. And so we fled communism. We ended up in a neighboring communist country in Yugoslavia. This was just before Yugoslavia was bombed, in a refugee camp. And anyone who wanted to escape communism could go apply for refugee status at the United Nations. We'd be put in a camp. You know, we had a roof over our head. It was extremely humble. But there were families who lived in the refugee camp for many, many years. There were children who were born in the refugee camp. There were Romanian families, Hungarian families, Bulgarian, Slovak, Czech, and so on. We were fortunate enough that after a year, we were allowed to come to Canada. And so we got our plane ticket to go to Canada. We landed in Toronto, and I grew up in Toronto. My dad became a professor at the University of Toronto in mathematics and engineering. And I worked very hard to get into medicine, become a physician. And so I'm a trained radiologist and oncologist. I practiced standard medicine. I came to Alberta to treat cancer patients with a very cutting-edge cancer treatment. And my cancer program was sabotaged by Justin Trudeau's operatives. And I didn't realize that at the time, but as soon as Justin Trudeau was elected Prime Minister of Canada, they heavily went into pharmaceuticals. And they started investing into pharmaceuticals, hundreds of millions of dollars into all kinds of cancer treatments. And they really focused on cancer treatment. And again, I didn't understand that at the time, but it's clear that they had a long-term plan for being all invested in the pharmaceutical industry and making money from the pharmaceutical industry. So I was providing a cutting-edge cancer treatment that was curing about 90% of cancer patients, end-stage cancer patients, and that was sabotaged so that the Trudeau government could take it over, monopolize it, and to rebuild that program in Vancouver, British Columbia, with hundreds of millions of dollars, and they wanted to control it completely. So that's my background. I've been involved in a legal battle with the healthcare authorities ever since. They threatened my family, they threatened my children repeatedly. I still get threats from lawyers. They took my medical license hostage. They said, you have to sign non-disclosure agreements or we will never allow you to practice medicine again. And this was almost 7 years ago. So my medical license has been held hostage for 7 years. So when the pandemic hit, I really had the freedom to give my assessment as a physician of what was going on. I had the freedom to speak out, even though I've been repeatedly threatened by lawyers. But I have the freedom that other Canadian physicians don't have. And unfortunately and tragically, the vast majority of Canadian physicians have chosen to bend the knee, take the vaccines, and push the narrative of the pandemic, and of course, of vaccination, which is a huge focus for the Trudeau government. About a year ago, I had no social media presence. I had actually been banned from social media. I was banned from Twitter for raising concerns about rolling out COVID vaccines in children. I said, there's no evidence that these things work. In fact, there was evidence that they were doing harm. They were damaging the immune systems of children. And within a few hours of posting that on Twitter, I got a warning from Twitter that my account was locked and that my account was terminated and I would never be allowed on Twitter again. My entire account simply disappeared. This was going on in 2021 and 2022 for every doctor and scientist who raised concerns about the COVID vaccines. They were terminated, wiped off the face of the earth. And that was going to be it for me. I told my wife, I said, look, if I can't be on social media warning people about the dangers of the vaccines, then I'll just give up. I'm protecting my family and my extended family, and that's all I can do. Protect my children, protect my relatives, those who are willing to listen. My wife said, no, you gotta keep speaking up. You gotta keep going. And that's the reason why I'm here doing this today. That's why I'm doing speeches, and that's why I'm back on social media. So I was banned for a year. Eventually, I was brought back once Elon Musk took over Twitter. He started restoring the accounts of all the doctors who had been silenced in 2022. So I was one of 11,000 accounts that were restored that had been banned for misinformation. And this is their language that they're using to silence people. You're engaging in misinformation, disinformation. My focus has been on the excess deaths, the sudden deaths that have been happening since the vaccines rolled out. And I can tell you, it is my opinion that the COVID vaccines are the most toxic pharmaceutical product that has ever been released on the market by far. There has never been anything this toxic that has been put out on the market. The deaths are in the probably in the millions. At this point, same with injuries. It is just incredible how toxic this product is. And the establishment, the medical establishment is covering it up, the media is covering it up, the politicians are covering it up. But you know, you can get evidence of the deaths. And this is a graph I like to use. This is United States excess deaths, ages 0 to 24. These are young people. And this was the death rate before the pandemic. Here's the death rate During the pandemic, there's little spikes here and there, but nothing, no real pandemic, because we really didn't have one. Then the vaccines roll out right here. This has been the death rate ever since the vaccines have rolled out. It is just a straight line upwards. And you know, this is the tragedy, is that these young people who didn't need these vaccines, didn't need these toxic products, pharmaceutical products, experimental products, they took them, they trusted the government, of course, the parents who gave it to their kids, trusted the government, trusted the authorities blindly, gave them these vaccines. A lot of these kids are now dying suddenly, dying unexpectedly, and this is the trend. Now, people have pretty much stopped taking the vaccines, and yet you look in 2023, the deaths continue to go up. In fact, right now we're at the highest death rate that we've been since the start of the pandemic. We started about here, straight line upwards. And so when you expand that to the ages of 0 to 54, it's roughly the same pattern. It's a little more bumpy, but you see we're still right now at the peak of deaths. And there's no evidence that this is slowing down. This trend just keeps rising and rising. And all we're told is, yes, young people are dying. Yes, excess deaths are high, but there's no explanation given for what is causing these deaths. And one way they're getting away with this is the autopsies are not being done. They're blocking doctors from doing autopsies. And when the occasional autopsy is done, they're not doing the autopsy properly. They're not looking for any damage done by the COVID vaccine. And so we're in this cover-up where it really is anything but the vaccine. They'll blame anything but the vaccine. Yes?
Is that Canada?
No, this is United States. This is United States. Yeah, but the pattern is similar in all the countries that have pushed the vaccines very aggressively. So the Canadian government has just come out and shown that there are about 50,000 extra deaths of Canadians last year compared to the pre-pandemic. And they're blaming some of it on COVID. About a third of it they're blaming on COVID. About a third of it they're saying it's unknown causes. And then the rest are saying, well, there's an increase in cardiac deaths, cancer deaths, but they don't have an explanation for it. This was my first post on Twitter. You can't see it here, but this was really my first Died Suddenly post. Now, some of you may know the movie Died Suddenly. That was the movie that came out in 2022. Produced by Stu Peters, and it had.
Stu Peters has interviewed Dr. Jones recently.
Okay. Great. And so the movie talked about the sudden and unexplained deaths and what the embalmers were finding in the bodies, these long rubbery cloths that they were pulling out. Inexplicable. Now, this is, I put this out, this was a year before the movie, and I talked about the sudden deaths of Canadian doctors. And the reason why I focused on Canadian doctors was because Canadian doctors were the first ones to get vaccinated. They were then mandated vaccines to keep their jobs. So 100% of Canadian doctors are vaccinated with at least two shots. Most Canadian doctors have had six or seven shots. Because if you're following the government recommendations, the recommendations from Dr. Theresa Tam, the public health chief in Health Canada, is vaccine shots every 6 months. And when you go back through the recommendations, they've now recommended seven shots in total. So all Canadian doctors are vaccinated. The first post I made was in December 2021, warning that Canadian doctors were dying suddenly of something, and they had recently just been boosted. They had just taken their booster shot, and some of these doctors started dying in their sleep. And so, next slide. We have this gentleman. This was a 52-year-old cardiologist in New Brunswick, Dr. Srovat Lujmedio. Young, healthy-looking guy, fit. You can tell he goes to the gym. And he rushed to get the booster shot, the COVID vaccine booster shot. That was the third shot. He was one of the first doctors in Canada to get it. He cut the line, made sure he was the first one to get it. 2 weeks after his booster shot, he died in his sleep. I was 52 years old, young, healthy looking man, but 2 weeks later, just died in his sleep. Next. This was in November of 2021. This young gentleman is a 48-year-old doctor from Toronto, Dr. Neil Singhdala. He ran many clinics, family medicine clinics in the greater Toronto area. Multi-millionaire, philanthropist. He took a booster shot. 3 days later, he was at his friend's Christmas party, starts feeling unwell, he lies down on the couch, he dies on the couch. 48 years old. As soon as I saw these stories, I realized something is extremely wrong here. Something is very wrong because people shouldn't be dying in their sleep. And you're going to hear this a lot, that, well, someone just died in their sleep and they were in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. This has never happened before. To die in your sleep means, you know, in the past meant you had some congenital problem with your heart. This was a 1 in a million event. 1 per million per year would die from some undiagnosed heart condition, and you could die in your sleep. Now it's a regular occurrence. This is happening to people who had the COVID vaccine. This is just a quick chart to show. I compiled this data, and I compiled it from all the sources of Canadian medical sources of doctors who were dying in 2019, 20, 21, and 22. This is where the vaccines were rolled out. And you can see the deaths are just going up, the same way as the first chart that I showed you. Now, I had extracted this data from the Canadian Medical Association website. I sent them many letters warning them about this. And do you know what they did? They accused me of misinformation, disinformation, and they deleted all the doctor death information from their websites. And so they used to track, you know, when a Canadian doctor would die, you would have an in memoriam page that would celebrate your accomplishments as a doctor. And they would keep track of this for many, many years. For the past decade, they would have that on their website. As soon as I notified them that vaccinated doctors were dying, they started deleting the previous years, and then they just deleted everything. They deleted everything off the website so Canadians could go back and see that younger and younger doctors were dying after taking the COVID vaccine. Thanks. And so, you know, this phenomenon of dying in your sleep, to me as a doctor, it's so shocking, because you think, well, why is a person in their 30s dying in their sleep? There's a young woman, 32 years old, from Tennessee. She got vaccinated. She complained. She had some side effects. And usually in these side effects, when you go back, the person who took the vaccine usually complained of some kind of side effects. They felt sick after taking the shot, but then they were fine. You know, they bounced back from it, they were fine, and then a year or two later, they dropped dead, or they died in their sleep. So she, 32 years old, just one day she went to sleep and never woke up. All of these cases I'm going to show you, almost all of them are just from this past summer. This all happened just in the last summer, and you know, this is, now they've had their shot maybe a year or a year and a half ago, their shots. So this is not an immediate, this is not like you take the shot and you die a few days later like I was showing for the Canadian doctors. That happens as well. But this is still happening a year later, a year and a half later with no warning signs. And this is really the shocking part of it. It's happening to women, it's happening to men. This gentleman, he had the badge, the Facebook badge that showed that he got his booster shot. A lot of the sort of the pride, the vanity of this vaccine thing, that you know, you got the vaccine, and it's not that it's a private medical matter, but you're going to advertise it to the world. You're going to say, you know, I did my part. Look, I'm vaccinated. That's what people were doing with these Facebook badges, I call them. This is actually meant to be a profile photo of them on Facebook, but they all did this, I got vaccinated. And this is actually what I'm using now to track the vaccine status of those who died, because most of them were so proud of having taken the vaccine that they actually advertised it publicly. And so here's a 31-year-old man, got his booster shot in 2022, just went to sleep and never woke up in 2023. This is a year, year and a half later. The doctors are not linking these deaths to the vaccine. These are just young, unexplained deaths. So, you know, here's a woman in her 50s. Now, she actually ran a naturopathic store, a supplement store. And this is another thing that shocked me, was a lot of people who were sort of in the alternative medicine space, naturopaths. She was a naturopath selling supplements. She got the vaccine. She was proud of it. And a lot of these people were fooled. The propaganda worked. It worked even on, you know, I had another gentleman, and he was a grower of organic produce in Florida in his 50s. Again, proud to be vaccinated. I cannot explain how people who were in, sort of in the alternative, because the alternative medicine or organic food, they fell for the propaganda as well. And very interesting, some of these badges, in terms of the propaganda, this one says, I have a healthy distrust of authority, and I'm vaccinated. Now, I've seen a lot of these. So, and this is, again, this is like another layer of the propaganda where people who thought they were rebellious or distrustful of the government, they had an outlet for them where they could say, look, I'm rebellious, I have a healthy distrust, so this is, I have a healthy distrust of authority, and I'm vaccinated. So they got to those people as well. They were able to sort of give their statement, look, I'm different, I'm rebellious, and then they still got the vaccine anyways. She died in her sleep this summer. The deaths in the sleep are going as young as 14 years old. This is a 14-year-old boy in Australia. And so you see it in young kids as well, dying in their sleep. And it's always it's the same story, no explanation in the media. So a lot of people are familiar with the athletes who've been collapsing, athletes who've been dropping dead on the field. And that was actually
yours. Yes, I think she just wants to clarify something.
Yes.
Yeah, on the previous slide, I'm distrustful of the government, but I got vaccinated. Was that badge provided by the government?
Yes. So that badge was, so Facebook gave you the options to select which badge you could put on your profile, and that was one of the ones that was produced by Facebook, by Mark Zuckerberg. And so this is not something that the lady created. This was a Facebook template. She just clicked, selected to basically advertise her rebelliousness, but the fact that she still conformed, she still got the vaccine.
So that reminds me of Dr. Jones says that women without an identity would be willing to take such a badge.
Yeah. So the athletes, you know, this is where the sudden deaths first appeared. When you can see athletes, and you know, I think a lot of us have seen the videos of athletes collapsing on the field, and you know, it looks like they're suffering some kind of a seizure. Sometimes they live, sometimes they don't. And this has been happening since the vaccines rolled out. I've documented hundreds of examples of athletes of all kinds that this was happening to. This is an example of, this is a 28-year-old Dominican professional basketball player, and he actually was in one of those videos where you see a basketball court, he collapses, he's writhing in pain. This is after he had two Pfizer vaccines. And he even said, I got a damn myocarditis from taking an effing vaccine, two doses of the Pfizer, and I knew it. Many people warned me. And he was diagnosed with myocarditis, which is inflammation of the heart. This was back in 2021 that he collapsed. In 2023, he went for a cardiac stress test on a treadmill at his doctor, where you run on the treadmill and they do an EKG and they check your heart. He had a cardiac arrest on the treadmill and he died on the treadmill. This was in June 2023. So he had the initial collapse after his two doses in 21. He collapsed on the basketball court, and then they were doing a cardiac test. 2 years later, he dies on the treadmill while doing the cardiac stress test. Thanks. And so, you know, this is happening. Football players. Now, what's interesting is the American professional associations, sports associations like the NFL, like the NBA, you don't see a lot of those deaths, sudden deaths, but you see it in players who are retired. So this was a 35-year-old retired NFL quarterback who was swimming in Florida and had a cardiac arrest and died while he was swimming. And, you know, the news stories came out and said, well, you know, maybe it was heat, maybe because it was too hot. And they're trying to tie a lot of these deaths to climate change. Especially when it was summer, they were saying, oh, it's too hot, that's why he must have died. And I noticed the pattern, many, many deaths they're trying to link to climate change, because that's the other propaganda aspect that is being pushed right now. This was an Italian professional cyclist, 48 years old. He collapsed with a cardiac arrest and died while he was cycling in Italy. And again, for this one as well, the story had come out that it was too hot, even though it was, in the United States, it's 22 degrees Celsius, so I'm not sure what that converts in Fahrenheit, but it was a very mild day. But again, the news stories were heat. He must have died from heat. So keep an eye on that. They're blaming a lot of these sudden deaths, especially when it was summer. They were blaming a lot of them on heat. Next. The athletes can be quite young. This is a British hockey prospect, a 20-year-old man who collapsed and died suddenly. So these deaths, at some point I started seeing them getting younger and younger. And as they rolled out the vaccines in younger and younger populations, the younger kids started dying, collapsing and dying suddenly. And so, you know, I had compiled about 88 athlete deaths over the summer of 2023, professional athletes mostly, and the most lethal sport is soccer, by far. It is the number of soccer players who died. I think I tracked 46 professional soccer player deaths just in the summer of 2023. It is unbelievable. Soccer is by far the deadliest sport for these vaccine cardiac injuries. It is obviously a very cardiovascularly intense sport. You're running, you know, back and forth, back and forth. The second one is football. Then you see basketball, hockey, rugby. Rugby is another one, especially where rugby is big. So in places like Australia, New Zealand, even in the UK, you see a lot of rugby deaths. That's another very cardiovascularly intense sport. And of course, runners, triathletes, those who are doing marathons. We now hear a lot of collapses during these events, during the marathons, triathlons. A lot of these collapses are non-recoverable, meaning that once they go into cardiac arrest with their vaccine-injured heart, they usually don't recover. Most of them are fatal. The ones who do recover, some of them actually need a heart transplant. The injury is that extensive. And as I said, the previous one. So as I said, it's when they started vaccinated kids, the collapses and deaths started happening in these young athletes. So a 16-year-old boy went on a 5K run at his school. He finishes the 5K run, he collapses at the finish line, has a cardiac arrest and dies. This was in, I'm trying to remember where this happened. Might have been Florida. This is, again, 15-year-old boy at a football practice, collapsed during football practice and died of cardiac arrest. Next. It's happening to young boys, but it's also happening to young girls. And doctors are not warning. They're not warning young girls, and they're not warning young women that the risk of cardiac arrest for them is almost as high as the boys and the men. They say, well, myocarditis, which is inflammation of the heart after the vaccine, they say it's very rare, it's very mild, and it only affects boys. It doesn't. It affects girls equally. And to give you an example, this is a 17-year-old girl, Ohio homecoming queen, collapses on the football field, on the school football field. Now, she's not an athlete. She just collapsed and died in the football field, 17 years old. 16-year-old girl at a cheerleading camp in Texas was found unresponsive, in cardiac arrest, died at cheerleading camp this summer. This is happening over and over. You know, the media will report the story, never mentions the vaccine or the vaccine status. Now, I can tell you that in kids 12 to 19 years old, in Canada, 80% of these kids have had at least two shots. 80%. Now imagine what this is doing, not just to their hearts, but imagine what it's doing to their reproductive systems, for example, and what the fertility implications are for the future. None of this is being looked at. No one is studying it. No one is looking at this. We're seeing the tragic collapses and the sudden deaths, but the fertility issue is a big one that no one is looking at. And we see birth rates are starting to drop. Again, when it comes to miscarriages, stillbirths, there's a complete blackout. Hospitals are not allowed to talk about it. Doctors are not allowed to talk about it. There's another girl also in a summer camp. She was a skier. She was a soccer player. Again, was found unconscious and died in the summer camp. She was 16 years old. And so, again, it's whoever's had these vaccines, no matter the age, you're at risk of heart inflammation. And there's been a couple of studies that have been published that showed that heart inflammation, there's evidence of some kind of heart inflammation in 1 per 30 injections. So 1 out of every 30 injections has some evidence of heart damage. They've told us it's 1 in 5,000, 1 in 10,000. They lie, because they use very strict criteria to get the numbers as low as possible. But the reality is when you look at the blood markers for heart damage, it's as high as 1 in 30 men and women. And of course, the ones who are at the greatest danger of cardiac arrest are the young kids in their teens or in their early 20s. So now kids, not just athletic kids, and this is why I want to stress, 14-year-old boy just collapses and dies of a cardiac arrest. 15, 16-year-old kids have a cardiac arrest in their classroom, just sitting at their desk. So it's not just the athletic kids, and it's not just during activity. It can happen just sitting at your desk. Both of these kids collapsed, and they weren't doing anything athletic. They collapsed just sitting at their desk. One of them needs a heart transplant. So, you know, this brings me to COVID vaccine mandated professions and jobs. And I focused, in this presentation, I focused on nurses because the healthcare workers, specifically, you know, nurses, were all mandated to take the COVID vaccines, both in the United States and Canada. But the mandates existed in other professions. Teachers were mandated. You had police officers, firefighters, the military, you know, any mandated profession where they had to take the shots or they would lose their job. If you took the shots, that's where the deaths are happening. These excess deaths are skyrocketing. So the next few slides I have is just about nurses, because it's a good example of what is happening to these people who've taken the vaccine. What kind of things are they dying from? What kind of things are they suffering from? This is a 20-year-old nurse from Michigan. Just died unexpectedly. She was a nursing student. So that the students are getting hit hard as well, because every university, every college mandated the vaccines in 2021. All of them mandated, or virtually all of them mandated the vaccines. Once they realized that their students were collapsing and dying from the vaccines, a lot of them backed off when it came to the booster shots and no longer mandated the booster shots. I think I saw Harvard just came out and again is mandating the booster shot again for all their students. Right. This was a 23-year-old nurse who this is in New Hampshire, who was actually in a course, so a nurse, a nursing student in a course where she was learning how to deal with people who have a cardiac arrest. She had a cardiac arrest in the course. And so, you know, you're going to find this, the way they're trying to deal with this issue is they're trying to give courses on how to deal with now people having heart attacks, because so many people are having heart attacks. And they're installing defibrillators all over the place. So she, 23-year-old, I imagine a 23-year-old woman having a cardiac arrest. I mean, this kind of stuff is unheard of. This wasn't happening before the vaccines rolled out. Has a cardiac arrest in a class where she's learning about how to deal with cardiac arrests. This is a gentleman, a nurse, who says, I have multiple clots in my left leg from my hip to my knee. So this length, he's got blood clots, so about that length. I'm going to talk about blood clots in a bit after vaccination. He had the vaccine, love thy neighbor, wear a mask, get vaxxed. Again, another propaganda badge, and again provided by Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook. Proud to be a nurse, a lot of pride in these badges. He also has a pulmonary embolism, which means he has blood clots in his lungs as well. Now, I mean, this is a guy who looks like he's in his maybe 30s, late 30s, early 40s. And now he says, I'll be on blood thinners for life. And that's true, he'll be on blood thinners for life. And his life will probably be significantly shortened. Thanks. This is a 32-year-old nurse who had just had a baby, died in her sleep. She was found dead by her 3-year-old daughter. Just died in her sleep. This is a 35-year-old Yale psychiatric nurse. He suffered a cardiac arrest while he was driving to work, to the hospital, and it ended up in a 10-car pileup, and he died on his way to work. So the car accidents are happening as well. People are having cardiac arrests behind the wheel, causing, you know, horrific accidents. In that case, a 10-car crash. Here's a pediatric nurse. She developed sepsis, then her kidneys failed. Now she needs a kidney transplant. 25 years old, needs a kidney transplant. Perfectly healthy before the vaccines. And so when you hear about, now I'm hearing a lot of young people having infections, severe infections. They come down with these horrific pneumonia, so they come down and they become septic. Septic means infection in the blood. And usually when you get septic, especially in these cases, people who've been vaccinated because their immune systems have been damaged by the vaccine, they end up in septic shock. And that's when your organs start to shut down. So their kidneys start to shut down. And you don't get blood delivered. You don't get enough blood delivered to the brain, other organs. And so sometimes that leads to amputations. And sometimes it leads to organ damage. In her case, it killed her kidneys. So she needs a kidney transplant at 25. This was a 49-year-old nurse who just died suddenly from a brain aneurysm. So brain aneurysms, that's another area where a lot of vaccinated are dying from, ruptured brain aneurysms. Now, what is an aneurysm? It's a damaged blood vessel. It's a damaged blood vessel that has ballooned, and then it's now it's weakened. And if it ruptures, these are fatal in at least 25% of cases, and within the first few months, up to 50% of these cases are fatal. The vaccine, when it gets in, the spike protein that's produced by the vaccine, it can end up in various parts of the body because the lipid nanoparticles, they get out in the shoulder, they end up in the bloodstream, and they deliver the RNA all over the body. It gets delivered and it gets picked up by cells all over the body. If it gets picked up by the lining of the blood vessels, when you get the spike protein produced in the lining of the blood vessel, and that creates inflammation which actually starts eating away at the blood vessel, causing damage to the blood vessels. So people are developing aneurysms, which are these areas of damaged blood vessels, and if those things rupture, you can die. Those are very fatal. This happened to a young journalist, 48-year-old journalist at the World Cup. His name was Grant Wall. He was an American journalist at the World Cup in Qatar in 2022. And his wife was actually an advisor for the Biden government for COVID-19 and for COVID-19 vaccines. Anyways, he had a rupture of an aneurysm while watching a quarterfinal game at the World Cup, and he died basically on the spot. He was 48 years old. So that's another thing that's happening to the vaccinated. Thanks. So these are, yes, so pregnant women are getting harmed by these shots. And these shots are extremely dangerous for pregnant women. This is another thing that's being covered up. I can tell you in Canada, they're telling pregnant women, take the shot, at any stage of pregnancy, it's fine, it's safe. And it's not. Pregnant women are dying. The lipid nanoparticles, the vaccine can cross the placenta into the fetus and cause damage, not just to the pregnant mother, some of them who are dying from cardiac arrests and blood clots, but actually it damages the fetus as well. So I'm starting to see things like cancers in the utero while the baby is still in the womb, or cancers in newborns, very aggressive cancers in newborns. These were nurses who were pregnant. This 36-year-old nurse was pregnant. She died with her unborn baby, just suddenly, no explanation. This was in Australia. Australia, very heavily vaccinated country. This was another pregnant nurse who died 2 days after giving birth. So what you see is with the vaccine, vaccinated pregnant women have complications during delivery. First of all, they go into premature labor quite often. So you'll see they go into premature labor about a month or 2 months before their due date. When they are delivering the baby, they often suffer from complications, bleeding complications, clotting complications. And this is all written off as just, well, you know, this is an unfortunate case. But it's happening more and more, and these pregnant women are suffering horrific injuries and deaths. And even after they've given birth, they're at risk, high risk of dying, and it's usually from blood clots. Next. And, you know, then, of course, there are the cancers. And I'm going to talk a lot about the cancers. They're being called turbo cancers because they're extremely aggressive. These are nurses that have come down with very aggressive cancers. 26-year-old nurse diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer, metastatic to liver, lungs, and bone. 26 years old, diagnosed with stage 4. Not stage 1, not stage 2, stage 4. I'm going to go a lot more into this, why this is happening. 20-year-old nursing student diagnosed with stage 2 testicular cancer. Within a few months, it was stage 4 terminal cancer. 20 years old. Nursing student had to be vaccinated to stay in nursing school. Next. 21-year-old, again, a nursing student diagnosed with Hodgkin lymphoma. 18-year-old who wanted to be a nursing student. She was going to all sorts of nursing camps and so on, volunteered with all kinds of special needs individuals. Again, had to be vaccinated, developed leukemia, and died, I think, within 2 months of being diagnosed with leukemia. Died, 18 years old. I don't have one or two of these cases. I have hundreds of these. I'm just giving examples, but there are hundreds and hundreds of these cases. There are so many, I can't keep up with even posting them all online. There are that many. This year, I've reported about 5,000 sudden deaths. And that is, I have a backlog of at least another 1,000. And it's I try to get as many of them out there as possible. I can't keep up. There are just that many deaths. No one else is really reporting it. Certainly no other physician is reporting it because it would cost them their medical career, their medical job, and their license. So there are there are lay people that are reporting these, or trying to report these. But doctors, I'm the only one who's reporting these in these large numbers, because doctors are not allowed to talk about this. They are not allowed to talk about these cases. Next. You know, and you see these now. This young nurse, you see, she's just had some babies, diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer, and again vaccinated for her job. You see these young mothers who are just being destroyed, devastated with these cancers. stage 4 colon cancer in a young woman, again, completely unheard of before the vaccines. And so, you know, I had documented in an article I wrote 100 nurses in the summer of 2023, almost all of them from the United States. And I wanted to see what is killing these nurses. Now, these are unexpected deaths. I want to see what is killing these nurses. And almost half of it was cancer. Almost half of the sudden deaths this summer of the nurses that I've been able to document, almost half were cancer. And again, these are nurses in their 20s, 30s, 40s. 12 cardiac arrests, 8 died in their sleep. So again, when you hear dying in your sleep, it is almost always a cardiac arrest. There will be a rare case of a blood clot perhaps, but it's the same. It's heart damage, heart that's been damaged. And the person when they're, now these deaths happen early in the morning. And the reason they happen early in the morning is because as your body starts to get ready to wake up, there's a surge in adrenaline, a surge in stress hormones to get your body, you know, to kind of get ready to wake up. And it's that surge of the stress hormones, the adrenaline, that creates an arrhythmia in a damaged heart, and that arrhythmia sends you into a potentially fatal arrhythmia. So that makes you go unconscious. And of course, if it gets caught in time and you defibrillate the person, you might be able to save them. Usually, there's no one to catch this, and usually they end up being found dead in the morning by a loved one. So that's when it's happening. It's happening around 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m. It's when the body is getting ready to wake up. It creates that event, that cardiac rhythm, that abnormal cardiac rhythm, which then can be fatal. Next. So again, I talked about brain aneurysms, brain bleeds. You know, they're trying to explain it away. These are two young women who both came down with brain bleeds. You know, I'll give you the most ridiculous example of how they're trying to cover these up. Blow-drying hair might have caused Malaysian actress sudden death, doctor said. So now they're blaming it that she was blow-drying her hair, and that somehow caused her brain bleed and sudden death. A young Malaysian actress in her 30s, and it was a ruptured aneurysm. Next. This is a young bodybuilder, German bodybuilder, who's got about 10 million followers on Instagram. Just very, you know, chiseled and a very, you know, professional bodybuilder. Very, watched what he took, was very keen on his diet. And he actually, before his sudden death, he went on a podcast and he actually admitted on the podcast that he was pressured to take 4 COVID vaccines. And peer pressure, I would mean peer pressure. He was peer pressured into taking 4 COVID vaccines, and the podcast was like, how did you get pressured? I mean, you know, you're very careful with what you eat and your diet and everything. And he said, well, you know, it was the people I was hanging around with. And they said, go get your shot, go get your shot, go get your shot. So he had been pressured to take 4 vaccines. You know, he wasn't feeling well. He actually was living in Thailand, so he went to a doctor, and you know, they have alternative doctors there. So he actually had one of these procedures where they filtered his blood. And so he actually got hooked up to a machine. He had his blood filtered. They said they found all kinds of things in his blood that should not have been there. It didn't matter. About 3 weeks after that podcast he did this past summer, he died suddenly. And again, he died in his girlfriend's arms, ruptured aneurysm. There was nothing you can do. He had a damaged blood vessel, the blood vessel ruptured, that was it. He was 30 years old. Again, you just see these stories over and over. I've had my COVID vaccine. 45-year-old mother died suddenly of a catastrophic brain bleed. So whenever you hear brain bleed in a vaccinated person, think vaccine injury to the blood vessels, because that is the most likely scenario of what happened. A brain aneurysm that led to a car crash. So she had a ruptured aneurysm in the brain. but it happened while she was driving. So she ended up in a car crash and died. Another nurse had COVID four times and three COVID shots. And this is again what you see, and she died of a brain aneurysm. So again, this is what you see in the vaccinated. They keep taking these COVID shots and they keep getting sick. The vaccines don't protect them. The vaccines actually damage their immune system. They don't understand why they keep getting COVID over and over again. Meanwhile, there's all this internal damage that's happening. Yes. And again, you see this badge of, I have a healthy distrust of authority and I'm vaccinated. He had a massive seizure and he died. Seizures are another indicator of brain damage from the COVID vaccines because again, these particles that were injected in the arm, they can actually cross the blood-brain barrier, and they end up in the brain. And so we're going to have two waves, I believe, over the coming years, we're going to have two waves of injuries and deaths in people who've had the vaccine. There'll be the neurological injuries, the brain injuries, and then there'll be the cancers. Next. This, again, is just more seizures. I want to show you another badge, and this was another layer of propaganda. So disinformation is deadly, vaccines save lives. A lot of people put this one, and again, it's this idea that anyone who's trying to warn you about the dangers of the vaccines, they're engaging in disinformation. Disinformation is deadly, vaccines save lives. Okay, so there's two propaganda messages in there. And this one's my favorite. I'm vaccinated, why aren't you, you stupid effing F? Now, again, this is a template created by Mark Zuckerberg on Facebook. Again, I'm vaccinated, why aren't you, you stupid effing F? And I've seen a bunch of these. Again, but this is where, now they're playing on the anger. You know, they're not just trying to shame. So one of the propaganda techniques they used for people who were not vaccinated was shaming. Guilt, shaming, you know, the guilt being you're killing grandma or you're killing, you know, the elderly in the homes. But there's also this anger, and the media was cultivating anger against the unvaccinated. This was part of that propaganda of cultivating anger. This 46-year-old film producer in Los Angeles had a seizure and basically died from complications of his seizures after taking the COVID vaccines. Next. This is a projection of a particular type of neurological brain damage that the drug companies are projecting in 24, 25, 26. They're all getting ready for an explosion of brain damage. In this particular case, it's Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, which is mad cow disease, prion disease. They're actually anticipating an explosion of those. The reason being is that in the vaccine genetic code, there are sequences that are prion sequences, so when it gets translated, it can create these abnormal proteins that have the same progression as the mad cow disease. Which is a neurodegenerative disease that progresses very rapidly. It can kill you in a matter of months or weeks, sometimes even days. So far, not a lot of people have had this, but it is extremely fatal when you do get it. And I can tell you, in terms of neurological injuries, it's going to be early dementia in younger and younger people. It's going to be, you know, seizures. It's going to be all kinds of horrific neurological injuries. We're going to see anyone who's been vaccinated, whose personality changes, who starts acting differently, it's probably brain damage that they're suffering from. And some of it can be rapidly fatal. Next. So again, more, you know, it can get as young as 32 years old. Usually it's people in their 50s, 60s, 70s that are suffering from this mad cow disease, again, from the vaccines, but it's this was a 32-year-old man. He died within 16 days of being diagnosed with this neurodegenerative disorder after vaccination. Next. Just a quick comment about the blood clots. In the movie Died Suddenly, they talked about the clots that they're pulling out of people who've died, vaccinated people who've died, these long, rubbery, white clots. No one knows what these things are yet. There's two types of clots. There's sort of the more regular-looking clots, but they get quite big. And then there's these bizarre, white, rubbery clots. And you can tell here, I mean, they can be several feet long. I think the largest clot that I remember that they pulled out of a young person was 6 feet long. 6 feet long, they pulled it out, it was just along the entire leg. No one knows exactly what is in these clots and why vaccinated people are developing them. And when they put you on blood thinners, usually the blood thinners will not break this down. You have to remove them surgically. That's the only way to get these things out. These clots might be controlled to some degree by blood thinners. And again, Pfizer has a blood thinner that they're making. I think last year it was $18 billion called Eliquis. Big in the United States because I think everyone in the United States is prescribing it. They have a blood thinner to deal with the injuries that their vaccine caused. And this is the shift that the pharmaceutical industries are getting into, is offering drugs for the injuries that they themselves caused initially from the vaccine. Next. How am I out of time, Neil?
We should shift the questions in the next 5 minutes.
Yeah, okay. So I'll just do a very quick overview of the cancers that we're seeing. Okay, next. As I showed you the graph for sudden deaths of young people, this is the graph of cancer deaths. It's again a straight line going up starting in 2021. So cancer deaths are going up as well. This is the United States. And it's just going up and up. Even though people have stopped taking the vaccines, the cancers are completely out of control. Now, the CDC is covering up the data. The Canadian government is covering up the data. They don't want people to know that the vaccines are causing cancer. So they'll deny it. They'll mess with the numbers. But where you can see it is cancer drugs. Cancer drug sales are skyrocketing. And you look at the different types of cancer drugs, from colon cancer, breast cancer, you see that, 21, 22, the cancer drug sales are skyrocketing. This is where they can't hide it, because this is information for shareholders of the drug companies. And of course, the companies want to make sure that the shareholders are happy, and that's where we're finding the explosion of cancers, because that's where they're out hiding the data. Next. So I first discovered the phenomenon of these aggressive cancers, and again, Canadian doctors. These three doctors, Canadian doctors, all died of cancer, all at the same hospital within 3 days of each other. So they died on July 17, 18, and 19. He was in his 30s, he was in his 40s, he was in his 60s. They died of extremely aggressive cancers, all of them vaccinated. And this is where I first realized there's something happening. The vaccines are also causing extremely aggressive cancers. Next. Young people, 27-year-old medical student. I spoke with his family. Perfectly healthy. He took two COVID vaccines. Within a couple of months, started having back pain. They do a scan. They discovered an extremely rare spinal tumor. And they say, well, you know what? We can treat this. This is not a problem. We'll do surgery. We'll do chemotherapy. They did the surgery, they discovered the tumor is something they've never seen before, extremely aggressive, he was dead within 6 months. All it took was two vaccines. A young medical student, 27-year-old, dead within 6 months. I can give you a brain cancer, a doctor in her 40s. So I can tell you, next. This is a scan, I just want to show you, this is actually a documented case of the first documented case of a vaccine-induced cancer. They're being called turbo cancers. This was actually a doctor in his 60s. Now, he had two Pfizer shots. He develops lymphoma, and he's got lymphoma in his neck. Now, the doctors have no idea that the shots are causing cancer. So they say, we're going to start your chemo. But because your immune system is going to be low when you have your chemo, we have to give you a third shot to protect you. So they give him his third Pfizer shot, and within days, his neck just explodes, it's swelling,
And he says, you know, what's going on? And they don't know what's going on. And so they say, you know what? Just to be safe, we're going to re-image you. We're going to re-image you to just to make sure that we have a, you know, the latest scan of your body, of your cancer. And his cancer exploded all over the body. So this is, I mean, this is within, you know, within a few days, maybe a few weeks of the booster shot they gave him that probably caused his original lymphoma. They give him another shot, the third shot, Pfizer shot, and his cancer just explodes way bigger and now all kinds of new places all over the body. Fortunately, they actually published the case. It's the first published case of turbo cancer associated with, specifically with the Pfizer vaccine. And this is happening to thousands and thousands of people. Next. So, you know, I'm going to skip this. This is the possible mechanisms. Again, it's injury to the immune system. The immune system is shot. The moment you damage and destroy the immune system, cancer just can grow like wildfire. That's basically the bottom line of it. You know, the minor mechanisms are not that important. It's the immune system that's getting damaged. And there's nothing then to protect you against cancers just exploding and growing uncontrollably. Next. We can just skip through a couple of these slides. I just want to show a couple of these horrific cancer cases next. Okay, this is a case I covered actually a couple of days ago. So this is a young mother, and she was actually pregnant. And so she has flu symptoms. She has flu symptoms, she goes to the hospital, they find baby is no more heartbeat. Baby doesn't have a heartbeat anymore. The next day she's diagnosed with leukemia, the day after that she dies. She died within one day of diagnosis of leukemia. That is how rapid some of these things are. Now, the quickest ones, the ones that will kill you the quickest are the leukemias, these are the blood cancers. I've reported cases where a young person goes to emergency, is diagnosed with leukemia, and dies several hours later, usually in the hospital, in the emergency room. So this thing can kill you within weeks, days, or even hours. This is happening in vaccinated people. Next. We have lymphomas as young as, you know, 22 years old, diagnosed with stage 4 Hodgkin's lymphoma. These cancers are presenting at stage 4. They grow extremely rapidly. They grow so rapidly that by the time you start feeling sick, you're presenting at stage 4, meaning that it has grown to a very large size and it has started spreading to other organs. Next. I'll give you the top 5 cancers that I'm seeing in the vaccinated. Lymphomas, brain cancers, so the glioblastomas, breast cancer, colon cancer, and lung cancer. Those are the top 5 that I've seen. So these are breast cancer cases in a 19-year-old university student, mandated vaccination, 25-year-old singer, mandated to travel. Breast cancer, imagine, like these are ages I've never seen breast cancer, 19, 25. Lung cancer, 24-year-old paramedic, never smoked, had to have vaccines because she was a paramedic. 24 years old, stage 4 lung cancer, died within 5 months. 28 years old, stage 4 lung cancer, died within months. This is something that, as a cancer doctor, I've never seen. Next. Colon cancer, 21-year-old university student, stage 4 colon cancer, died within months. This is a teacher, mandated so he could keep his teaching job, stage 4 colon cancer, died within 2 weeks. These are horrific, absolutely horrific cases. This was a young girl, 21-year-old university student, was on a vacation in Mexico, came down with a brain bleed, turned out she had a brain cancer, she was dead within 5 weeks. 19-year-old hockey player, again, brain cancer, so you're going to see a lot of brain cancers. And it's because, again, this thing gets into the brain and causes all kinds of abnormalities. Next. There's also sarcomas. So sarcomas are cancers of the soft tissue. This was a PhD, 29-year-old PhD student, she actually developed a cancer in her heart. So you can get really bizarre, rare cases. That was a 23-year-old, it's happening to families. So multiple members of the family can come down with cancers. This is a 23-year-old girl, again, a university student, that came down with stage 4 melanoma. Her 43-year-old mother has a stage 4 breast cancer. So it's taking out multiple family members. Right? This is just an example of what some of these tumors look like. This is an ovarian tumor that grew in a vaccinated person within 3 months. Some of these tumors are absolutely huge. Sorry, just go back. And this is another tumor, of the bone and muscle, again, developed in a matter of months. So they can grow very, very large and very quickly. And the final case I want to show is a tragic case. So this was her mom's a nurse. And this is actually a Canadian nurse. So Canada, again, very aggressive with vaccination. And the nurses were the ones who stayed and got vaccinated. They pushed it on all their family members. So she got her five-year-old girl. She got her five-year-old girl vaccinated, and this girl then has come down with leukemia. So this is sort of the youngest case of a vaccinated child cancer that I've seen, a five-year-old. Now I have seen, you know, these cases of newborns in utero, but directly vaccinated child, 5 years old with leukemia. So again, this is out of UK data. Ed Dowd, who's a hedge fund manager in the United States, he's been putting out, he looks at insurance company data and government data, and this is out of the United Kingdom. These are cancer deaths in 2021, 2022. But like I said, the government is trying to cover this up. They're trying to make sure that there's no link made between the vaccine and the cancers. And so that is my presentation. It's a depressing topic, but I think it's important. It's information that is crucial, and I can tell you, any doctor, what I stood here and told you this morning, if any doctor in the United States or Canada made this speech, their license would be stripped in a matter of weeks or months. They would lose their job. They would lose their hospital privileges. This is literally forbidden information. Certainly in Canada, they come after you immediately. I had a colleague who tried to treat three patients with ivermectin in the emergency room who were not doing well. And within 24 hours, we know that bureaucracy is very slow, but within 24 hours, the health administrators stripped him of all his ER shifts, emergency shifts, and basically kicked him out of the province of Alberta, said he's never allowed to practice medicine again. He tried to treat three patients with ivermectin.
Thank you so much, doctor. I just know that we all have personal stories close to us, so I want to give everybody a chance to interact with your
Absolutely.
Knowledge. Just as an anecdote, I think I told some on Thursday night, two owners at Trappers that we had our social the first night, they both died in August, and my brother-in-law, all within 3 weeks of each other. One was a heart attack in the parking lot. My brother-in-law was a pancreatic cancer, and the other owner was turbo cancer. He had really strange tumors, very much like Laker's showing. I've got people trying to jump in the call, so please don't mind me. I'll have to approve to get them in, but I'll now let the audience interact with your knowledge base, Joe.
Thank you for looking into this, first of all. I have a PhD in molecular biology, and one thing, of course, you probably are aware of the Stanford study that actually sequenced the Pfizer and Moderna and RNA. I was looking at that, and I noticed there was a slight difference between the two. I think it was the Pfizer that had an extra gene product. Of course, they both make the spike protein, right? I think it was the Pfizer one. I could have that reversed, but it had a very small, like, 6 amino acid products. I didn't know what it was. I thought maybe it was an adjuvant to, you know, stimulate the immune system. But my question was that what you were referring to with the prion-like activity?
I don't think it's maybe that particular sequence. What I was referring to was there was a study done, I believe it was Swedish researchers, I'm not 100% sure now. But they had actually put it through like a computer simulation, the entire sequence, and identified at least two sequences that if they were translated, just those particular sequences, that they would create a protein that would be like a prion-like protein that theoretically could, you know, once translated, could behave like a prion and then induce other proteins to misfold and then create this rapidly progressive neurodegenerative disorder.
I see. I was only looking for open reading frames, but maybe they were looking outside of that, because who knows what happens with a virus, you know.
And then the other sequence, there was another study that had identified, I think, at least 7 amyloid protein sequences, which, again, amyloid is a type of protein. And some of these proteins have the ability to form amyloid microfibrils. So structures where these proteins could then link to each other. And one of the theories is that these blood clots, these bizarre rubbery blood clots, I mean, it seems like it's made of protein, especially the white ones that don't have a lot of, you know, blood in them. But what is causing these long clots? I mean, there has to be some kind of a structure that is causing these very long clots. This is one theory where it's, you know, if you end up with fragments of a spike protein, you could actually be translating these fragments of mRNA. You could be making these amyloid proteins. Some of them have the ability to create like a scaffolding where these proteins kind of connect to each other, you know. And I'm hoping that one day we're going to actually find out what exactly is the composition of those bizarre clots. For now, I haven't seen anything concrete as to what those clots are composed of other than abnormal proteins.
Right, like the mad cow, which causes proteins to fold like it and causes these sequences. So do you have any, of course, you're not given the full government data, right? They're not releasing that. So they can always say this is anecdotal data, right? That's their defense. So there's insurance data that's interesting. Is there any country that gives out all their data, or not really?
Not that I'm aware of. We're really having to sort of piece this together from really indirect sources almost. So that's why I showed the drug sales, the cancer drug sales, going up year by year. And again, that is an indirect information. You can't say, well, you know, that means there's that proportional increase in cancer diagnoses. You know, I mean, I think there's a strong argument to be made that yes. But what I'm seeing, especially in the data that was recently released by the Canadian government, the Statistics Canada, is they'll admit to a small increase in cancer deaths, but a lot of deaths are hidden under COVID-19 deaths. And this past year, the Canadian government has claimed about 20,000 COVID deaths. In the first year of the pandemic, we had 15,000 COVID deaths. So we actually have more COVID deaths than ever before. There are 7 vaccines in, and I don't believe those are COVID deaths. You know, anecdotally, I've heard from a lot of my colleagues that, you know, you get a positive test, and from that point on, no matter what you die from, you're a COVID-19 death. And you could die from something else entirely. So I think a lot of the numbers are being hidden, and that is the struggle, because I get attacked on a daily basis saying, this is not happening, these cases are not happening, turbo cancer doesn't exist. And, you know, there's a lot of indirect data to show that, yes, this is happening. And, of course, thousands of people go online posting their stories of, you know, their loved ones who died from these extremely aggressive cancers. But it's all being swept under the rug right now.
And do you have any indication if it's Moderna, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, or all of them? Because the Johnson & Johnson is not a... RNA, mRNA.
That's right. So AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson are not mRNA products. They're a DNA vector product. The best information that I have is that this is a problem with mRNA vaccines. Now, that could be because maybe I just haven't seen, you know, cases from AstraZeneca. The problem with AstraZeneca is that wherever AstraZeneca was used, like in Canada, for example, the government said mix and match the vaccines. So imagine people rushed to get the first vaccine, and the Canadian government said, go get the first vaccine you can. They got 2 AstraZeneca. Then they were told, you can't travel. because the country you're traveling to does not recognize AstraZeneca, so now you need two Pfizer shots. So then they get two Pfizer shots, and then they might get a Moderna booster, and then they develop cancer. You'll never be able to trace back what caused the cancer, because now you've taken three different experimental products. So but where I'm seeing these cancers, I'm seeing it in people who've taken just Pfizer shots, or just Moderna shots, or the combination of the two. I'm not seeing it with Johnson & Johnson. I'm not seeing it with AstraZeneca. So I suspect, I can't prove it, but I suspect that this cancer problem is a problem with the mRNA vaccines specifically.
Question. Just before coming here, I came across Dr. Malone talking about using mRNA vaccines in livestock. Beef, cattle, poultry.
Yes. So there's a big push. There's a big push to use mRNA vaccines in livestock. I know that in Australia, for example, there's a government program where they're building the capacity to vaccinate all the cattle with mRNA, and this is within a year or two. So, yes.
I didn't have time to really look at all the research, what he uncovered, but it seems that this has been going on for a long time already in the US.
Not with the technology that they've rolled out with the vaccines.
Or at least they have the plans to do so. They have
absolutely. So there's plans to vaccinate.
Since 2014.
And I'll tell you how crazy it gets. They plan to vaccinate marine life. So there's a company, there's an Israeli company that has just been approved for vaccinating shrimp, believe it or not. And the way they're going to do it, of course you can't vaccinate individual shrimp. And so they put it in their feed, and they let basically the shrimp feed on this, and they figured out a way that the shrimp takes in these vaccines. And they're talking about already expanding it to other, maybe certain types of fish or lobster, I don't know. So they're crazy. I mean, it's not just, you know, the cattle, the pork. They're trying to figure out how to mRNA vaccinate also, you know, seafood as well. It's quite frightening.
Holden?
Early on in 2021, after the vaccines began to be widely implemented, there were discussions happening about germ theory and about the idea of vaccine shedding, and seeing these cases where there are families who are coming down with cancer simultaneously. I just wondered if you have any thoughts about that, and whether there's any credibility behind the idea of a vaccination causing a sympathetic sort of cancer to develop in a person in close proximity to someone.
Yeah. So shedding is real. Pfizer has actually admitted to shedding. It's in their trial documents. They worded a little differently. What they say is in their trial documents, clinical trial documents, they talk about environmental exposure through inhalation and skin contact of their product. They were worried about pregnant women being exposed in this way. And if there was an exposure, it was supposed to be reported to a safety officer within 24 hours. So shedding is real of their product. Apparently there is a way that shedding happens through basically the vaccinated person exhaling these small particles that may have the mRNA, like exosomes, and also in bodily fluids. And that is the issue, of course, you know, that this can come out in bodily fluids. It's supposed to be very small quantities. No one has quantified exactly how much of the vaccine is getting out. Now, so from what I've heard in terms of shedding and damage from shedding in an unvaccinated person, is some people can have severe reactions to it. They can have rashes, they can feel sick for a number of days. I have heard about blood clots. Now, the issue about can you actually develop cancer as an unvaccinated person from being next to a vaccinated person for prolonged periods of time through shedding, is unknown. I don't want to say it's impossible. I don't want to say, you know, it's probably extremely unlikely. If it happens, that's a very scary situation, because then, you know, imagine you're trying to protect yourself, you know, you didn't take the vaccines, and the idea that basically all those people would be at risk is a scary thought, I think. But no one knows right now if that's possible or not. I haven't seen any concrete cases or even anecdotal cases of that yet, because again, it's minute quantities. And the difference between being vaccinated, where they're injecting trillions of copies of the lipid nanoparticle and mRNA into you, now into the shoulder, a lot of it ends up in the bloodstream, versus you picking up a few particles in the environment through, you know, through the air or through, like, there's no comparison between the two. So the risks of shedding should be very, very minor, but it does happen, and the danger is there. Now, where it becomes a really big problem is where they're pushing the next generation of these mRNA vaccines to, and that's what they're called, the self-amplifying mRNA vaccines, which means they include extra genetic code, which when you get injected with this stuff, you make extra proteins that are the replication machinery that makes more copies of the mRNA inside your cells. That's where this technology really gets completely out of control, so that you could theoretically pick up from shedding this self-amplifying mRNA technology, and now it actually starts producing mRNA in your body as if you were vaccinated, and then of course producing the toxic spike protein. So that's the next generation of this nightmare, and the first one has actually been approved in Japan. Wow. Japan has gone completely insane. I think their government is trying to wipe out their population, because they've taken over 400 million mRNA shots. That is one of the, Japan is one of the most purely mRNA vaccinated countries in the world. They only have mRNA. 80% Pfizer, 20% Moderna, over 400 million shots, mRNA shots, and they've just approved this self-amplifying mRNA technology, which basically, even the unvaccinated, if they pick this stuff up, potentially, you know, it will result in them getting vaccinated as well.
Thank you so much, Doctor, for your work and your courage. The good thing is we all have access to Dr. Mackis all day and night, I hope, because I've got questions, but we do need to get ready for our next record here.
Thank you very much.
If you don't mind. Thank you very much. Thank you. So just grab a coffee here, we'll have you. Your car comes ready to go.
A thousand years. yourself to